Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Glenn Beck joins the program and Matt Gaetz. We talk about Tucker, CBDC, who bombed the Kremlin, and more. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school chapter and a college chapter today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is Matt Gaetz. Matt, welcome to the program. You're going to have to explain this one to me, Matt. You are co-sponsoring a bill with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Tell me why.
Yeah, I'll work with anyone and everyone to make Congress less corrupt. And you can disagree with a lot of AOC's views. I certainly do, and she probably disagrees a lot with mine. But we are not part of the bought and paid for caucus. She holds her views sincerely, whether you like them or not, and so do I. And one of the things that's really frustrating is when you even try to engage in debate with some of the colleagues, you don't get a sincere reaction or response to the substance of the argument, because it's all about what stock trades they have, what lobbyists pay for their votes, and what interests they're beholden to. The legislation I've sponsored with Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez ends Congress insider trading stocks. Members of Congress should not be allowed to trade individual stocks. It's like letting the referee bet on the game. And I can't believe we've allowed it to occur so frequently. And when you look at the backgrounds of some of the representatives and then see the wizardry that they are able to deploy in their stock trades, it's really a head scratcher.
So I've heard you say that over $788 million of securities were traded last year. So Matt, how is this different than the Stock Act? I mean, is it kind of a joke, that Stock Act, basically?
Well, there were so many holes in the legislation that Nancy Pelosi allowed to move forward just a tad. And that really doesn't provide the level of accountability we're talking about. In our legislation, if you own any individual stocks today, you have to dump those into a blind trust. And then the blind trust doesn't just manage those. They have to actually dispose of those stocks, dispose of those securities within a period of 90 days. So we have tougher penalties. We have stricter divestment obligations for members of Congress. And we clearly delineate. You get to be either a lawmaker or an individual stock trader. You don't get to do both. And the conflict is so obvious to the American people. You know, you get folks on the right, left, and even in the middle. I want to give credit to Brian Fitzpatrick and Raja Krishnamoorthy, two folks who kind of center right, center left. And we think we've got all four corners covered with the coalition we've built. Now we want to vote on the floor.
So Matt, I'm going to ask you to speculate a little bit here. And I know it's going to be imprecise. What percentage of legislative decisions are made with members' stock portfolio in mind?
I don't know if it's always the legislative decision. That could be as low as 10 to 15%. But there are ways members of Congress can impact stock prices without a legislative act. For example, who a committee chairman calls before a hearing, how a particular CEO is treated with white gloves or going after them, whether or not you have requests for information, subpoenas that go out to particular entities. If members of Congress have securities in a particular entity, then they function as part of the protection ring for that entity for stuff that you, the American people, will never see.
Yeah. So Matt, just so our audience understands, are you trying to say it's technically legal? Let's just take Maxine Waters, who was previously chair of Financial Services Committee, if I'm not mistaken. You're trying to tell me that Maxine Waters could subpoena Jamie Dimon and whoever else, and then before the committee meeting, she could short the stock of JP Morgan, Are you trying to tell me that Maxine Waters, if she got private information, what I'm trying to get at, wasn't Senator Burr investigated for this? Wasn't Congressman Collins eventually convicted for this? I mean, he might have been pardoned. But the question is, how is it, where is the law failing right now? Because there are some laws, but you're trying to say that there should be no trades at all whatsoever. Is that correct?
That's correct, Charlie, because to get caught by our current suite of laws, you have to be universally so corrupt and so stupid that you explicitly lay out the insider information that you are acting on. The problem is that right now, you don't really have an effective enforcement scheme to determine how those decisions are linked with trades and with actions as a lawmaker in the House of Representatives. I just think we should go cold turkey. I don't think we should try to shake this addiction in a 12-step program like some of the other bills that have been considered. I think we just should just say, no, this is not allowed. If the deal of being a member of Congress isn't sweet enough for you without the ability to manage an individual stock portfolio, then just don't run. We'll take folks who don't view that as central to their public service.
Yeah, and so then – but I mean, for example, Matt, are you allowed to then trade on information that is shared in private committee as well? Is that currently legal? I mean, on non-public information?
Well, again, if you are trading on non-public information, technically that would violate the letter of the law, but there is not a robust enough enforcement regime to track. Yes.
And it's almost impossible, right? Yeah. I mean, for example,
sure.
Nancy Pelosi has
the Judiciary Committee right now. I know some companies that are going to get subpoenas. I know them. You don't know them. And they're in the pipeline. And so, you know, if some family member of mine, if I go out and engage in stock trades around those eventualities, shorting those stocks because I know it's going to be bad news when these companies get these subpoenas, like, you wouldn't necessarily be able to prove that it was the insider information, which is why those prosecutions don't get really developed. But at the same time, I see how often the opportunities present, particularly around big tech, around the energy sector, and around particular committees where they have such an ability to shape how the market views individual securities by their actions or inaction.
And so you've introduced the bill. I mean, you're almost forcing Congress to regulate themselves. I can't imagine this is going to be met with open arms, right?
Well, we want a vote. And you know what, Charlie? Probably it wouldn't pass if we had a vote on it. 1 in 4 members of Congress are engaged in this activity now. And I'm going to try to make the case to the other 3 out of every 4 members of Congress doing these trades that we don't need this, that this is not a way to build trust and confidence, regardless of which political party is in power. And I guess what gives us some sense of momentum is it's pretty rare to have, you know, a pro-impeachment Republican, Brian Fitzpatrick, a centrist Democrat, Raja Krishnamoorthi, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Matt Gaetz all together on one legislative device. Our hope is to force pressure on other members to join us or have to go explain to their constituents why we ought to have a system that allows nearly $800 million to get traded each year from lawmakers who have an oversized impact on the information space and on the market space.
It's going to be very interesting to see. Again, I'm not immediately optimistic about it, but it's just nauseating how these lawmakers look at their ability. Okay, I'm a lawmaker. I get all this inside information. I get to sweeten my stock portfolio. And they wonder why Washington, D.C. is hated by the rest of the country. And it really is something. So I think it's an admirable and courageous effort, truly. Look, it is time to consider a rollover of that 401k into an IRA. The investment world is completely different in 2023, and you cannot do the same thing as last year. Woke companies are aggressively implementing ESG. Interest rates are going up and inflation is still lingering. If you have over $150,000, now is the time to move your money to a biblical responsible investing strategy with my friends at Pax Financial Group. Here's how you can connect with Pax. Text Charlie to the number 74868. That's it. Just take out your phone. Text Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, to 74868. So take out your phone, text Charlie to the number 74868 for biblical responsible investing. Text Charlie to 74868. So Matt, I just want to ask your opinion here. Who do you think droned the Kremlin?
I'm not going to talk about that, but I have been standing against this U.S. involvement in this European war. I was one of the first three who tried to block the hostilities that I thought we were stumbling into. It was me, Thomas Massie, and Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now there's close to 70 Republicans who hold my view, but we just heard Speaker McCarthy in Israel talk about how much more he thinks we need to do for Ukraine. And that is not a position I agree with, respectfully. I think that we need to do more for our own country. And particularly when we're talking about raising the debt limit, $1.5 trillion, maybe we shouldn't be securing the pensions of the government officials in Ukraine. I saw your tweet earlier that really, I think, you know, drew a more pointed criticism on this particular event mm-hmm. with these drone strikes, but I'm just not able to talk about that open source.
I respect that. So let's talk about the debt ceiling. Where does that stand? To your credit and the House Republicans' credit, that this is now on Biden, and he seems to just be very flustered over this. How is this going to play out, Matt?
Well, I don't think you're going to like the answer to this, Charlie. How it's going to play out is Chuck Schumer is going to hold weeks of hearings to distort the truth about the House plan. He's going to make a cap on the growth of the federal budget appear as if we are going after veterans and seniors, which is completely nonsense. And then I suspect the Schumer-Biden strategy will be to run out the clock, put our nation on the brink of default, and then send over either a clean increase in the debt limit or a mostly clean increase in the debt limit. That'll be opposed by the fiscal hawks, which are an increasingly threatened and endangered species in the House of Representatives. And there will be a broad, bipartisan push to simply raise the debt limit, act as though we're studying federal spending going forward, and kick the fights to the appropriations process and the budgeting process, where those of us who seek to put downward pressure on spending will have less leverage. So I'm not particularly optimistic, though I do believe that Speaker McCarthy and his team do deserve credit for at least putting a plan on the table that would be the most downward pressure on spending I've seen in my time in Congress.
Yeah, and we're seeing already the kind of bank collapse pattern, the overspending, the addiction to spending that Washington, D.C. has, and the impact that it's occurring. Congressman,
can we talk about the bank thing for a minute?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because like with no vote of the Congress, has Joe Biden not just nationalized the banking system in this country by securing deposits even when management fails? You now create this hyper incentive structure for risk, because if you drain the consequence for depositors who are over the FDIC limit out of the banking enterprise, then any bank manager of even a medium-sized banking system is going to have every incentive to do crazy risky things at the hopes of achieving some quarterly earning. And if it all goes to hell, they just throw their hands up in the air and turn to the federal government. This is a terrible thing for our economy, and it happened without so much as a vote in the United States Congress.
Yeah, I mean, it seems as if they are nationalizing all the banks. We had a great guest yesterday. He wasn't the first one to say this, but they want to privatize the gains and socialize the losses, which is, I mean, you're allowed to make as much profit as you can. If you dare, you know, have any sort of decline, we're going to then have the taxpayers swoop that up. And so Matt, we only have about a minute remaining. What should House Republicans then do about this disturbing pattern of bank collapses?
Well, I don't think we should be captive to the banking industry. And increasingly, the way people get on the Financial Services Committee is that the banks want them there. So part of the broader reforms we want to make Congress more honest, less self-interested would certainly help. But specifically, I think we need to disfavor, disallow, defund, and deauthorize any system by which the Treasury Department can literally nationalize the banking system. And you said it perfectly. Privatize the gains, socialize the losses. Who do you think gets screwed in that system? Regular Americans who just want a financial system that treats everyone fairly. And the one they've built doesn't. And it's on purpose. And it's going to result in more inflation, more financial swings that crush regular folks. And we have got to stand against that.
It's absolutely on purpose. And I get asked sometimes, why are people so distrustful of the current economic orthodoxies? I said, you have no idea. The rich people get bailed out. The muscular class has to write the check to bail them out. And they get crushed. And then they get told that their values are deplorable. It's not an equation for a sustainable country. Matt, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Charlie. Well, hopefully we'll have a cheerier chat next time.
Yeah. And you could tell once you're willing to talk about it, tell me who bombed the Kremlin. I'm very, very curious.
Much to discuss.
Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. That's right, you heard me, MyPillow 2.0. When Mike Lindell, great American patriot, invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow, but now 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has a patented, adjustable fill on the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that is made with a temperature regulating thread. For exclusive listeners, the MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free offer with promo code Kirk and get your best sleep ever. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in America and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square to buy one and get one free offer. Enter promo code Kirk or call 800-875-0425 to get your MyPillow 2.0 now. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Check it out. Joining us now is the prophetic and the very wise Glenn Beck. Glenn, thank you for making time and joining the program. Let's dive right into it. Glenn, do you think Tucker Carlson's going to be able to get out of this contract mess, the struggle that he has right now with Fox News?
I have no idea what's in his contract. I just know that it is important to understand they did not fire him. He is still being paid, and they did that for a reason. They'll continue to pay him. So what are you? We didn't fire you. You're still a consultant or whatever. And that's an intentional move. But I think he could fight that in court. I think it would take a while, but I think he could fight it in court and win. Unfortunately, the time that elapses is really precious time. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Tucker Carlson. I thought he was the only person that was on a platform the size of Fox that was telling the truth night after night after night. He is a crucial voice to all of us, and the Fox platform had to be dismantled because the left just cannot handle other people having other opinions. And I thought he was very calm, collected, and he's just wicked smart as well.
So Glenn, that's a perfect segue. Do you believe this is ideological then? Do you think the people in charge of the Fox network said, hey, we're going to take a ratings hit, we have to take the guy off that's challenging the Ukraine war and talking about adverse events of the vaccine?
Yes. Yes. And I don't think it could be an ideological, could be a theological thing too. I know Murdoch does not like, God stuff. And Tucker was really going down that road, which I think everyone should. That's our only answer is God. We must return to God. But I know when I was there, I had a real problem with the management. They did not like the fact that I was talking about God all the time. However, I think they didn't even think we'd take a ratings hit. The philosophy from Fox is no one can be bigger than the network, and the network will just carry on. And the problem with that was when I was there, I was the first person to do primetime ratings at 5 o'clock.
I used to watch you every day coming home from school. I'd watch Glenn. You had a big impact on my life.
Right. Thank you. But when I left, we had trained people to watch at 5 p.m. So the 5, which is good, the 5 replaced me and it held. But the rest of the network was healthy. Now they have gotten rid of so many people. Tucker was, for many people, kind of an island. And it was the last holdout for somebody who would say the really uncomfortable things that people felt were true. When they did that, this is a Budweiser moment for Fox. I really don't know if Budweiser ever returns to the number one beer in the country anymore, because it was easy for people just to say, give me a Miller. This now, when I left, it was only me and Major League Baseball that were streaming online live. Nobody else had done it. HBO wasn't in it. Nobody was in it. And when I started it at the Blaze, there was a lot of problems. We had to tell the audience, put up with buffering. I don't even know if people even know what buffering is anymore, but it was riddled with problems. Now it's not. And the voices that people want to hear generally are online. The only ones that are really watching Fox are the, you know, 70 plus. And nothing wrong with 70 plus, but that when that dies, it's over. It's over.
Yes.
And I think this is a real death knell for Fox.
That's interesting. And this is being debated. And I think it is clear that they didn't anticipate this much of a dip.
No.
But you're trying to say, I mean, they're down two-thirds. It's the entire lineup, by the way, Glenn, has just been bombed. I mean, we're talking
ravaged.
About two, I mean, it just ravaged. We're talking about CNN doing some sort of trans special rerun is beating Fox now head-to-head. I mean, it's you have like HLN that are beating. If you look at the cable demo, you're like, oh my goodness. The Home Shopping Channel is beating Fox in certain demos.
Charlie, when it was usual to put up 3 million viewers at 5 p.m., before I was on Headline News, which no one watched, no one. I had higher ratings at Headline News than Fox did in the demo this week. That's insane. Jeez. We had nobody watching at Headline News. Nobody. You were trapped in an airport if you were watching us. And that's the kind of numbers Fox is putting up in prime time. That I don't know how you recover from that, especially, look, what people don't understand is the true conservative is not playing a game. This isn't fun. We're not doing it as a sport.
That's
most
exactly
of us
right.
We're tired of it. We don't want to deal with it. We want it to just end. But we are seeing our country. I've met many people who are now, for the first time, going through mourning for their country. They'll see things or they'll hear things and they'll just burst out into tears because they're in mourning for their country. I went through that in 2010. It's rational, reasonable to go through that. Get through it right now as fast as you can, because now we need you back on the line. And when you betray people who are true, I everything in me, I will stand, Charlie, with you till the bitter end, unless you betray the values and the principles that we're both speaking for. You betray the values of God. You betray the values of our founders and founding documents. I can't stand with you. And if you really betray them, I'm out. You do it over and over and over again, I'm out. I'll never do anything or watch you or anything. That's the way America is right now on the right.
Isn't that a positive development, though, Glenn? I mean, isn't it somehow it gives me a little bit of hope that the hit is happening, right? I would be a little bit
yes, it does.
Cynical. Just a minute remaining, Glenn. Why does that give you hope? The movement's changed 10 years ago. People didn't change their habits that much, but not like
this. Let me say something that I think might be more useful. I think it is important because we are changing and we are waking up, majority of us. The bad news is Tucker Carlson, everybody's moving online on their own platforms. We must start looking at this like cable television. People can't afford $10 for that guy, $10 for that guy, $10 for that guy, and $10 for that guy, and get four shows. They can't do that, especially now. We've got to find ways to come together
yeah,
and
right.
consolidate so we can get our voices out to as many people as possible.
The you're exactly right. An entrepreneurial billionaire needs to go to Blaze, Daily Wire, Charlie Kirk Show, Bannon, and come up with some sort of an amazing user experience and basically have it, hey, you don't have to pay any extra money, but we can somehow have an umbrella almost
it's really
subscription
easy,
model,
Charlie.
Right? But the problem, yeah. Glenn, and this is the issue, only 20 seconds talking about the break, to get Daily Wire and Blaze and Rav and Bannon, and to get conservatives to work in harmony, we're entrepreneurial, right? We're entrepreneurs, we're individualists. But Glenn, why is that so hard? 1 minute in this short segment, then we welcome.
I think it's
back.
Hard because people will not surrender the empires. I don't really care who gets the credit or whatever. We've got to come together, and it should be easy. If we would develop some sort of a YouTube that was safe and controlled by the right, so everybody could be paid for their own thing based on the usage or whatever. There are ways to do it and not interfere with one another, so nobody has to take responsibility for something I say except for me. And that's really, really important. It could be done, but we have to put our egos aside,
exactly,
and
right,
come together for the good of the country.
Yeah, and it's going to be difficult, but it's incredibly
necessary.
Well,
it'll be impossible. I think it'll be impossible if Tucker goes out on his own.
Well, that's Tucker could lead the charge, right? If Tucker decides to say, yeah, hey, we're going to have a place where we have symmetry, where we have symmetrical messaging, right?
Yes.
Within these guidelines,
yes,
you know, none of that, you know, neocon open border,
yeah,
stuff, but within some sort of harmony. This is Charlie Kirk, and we're saving babies with Preborn. What are you doing today? When you introduce a girl to her baby by providing an ultrasound, you're giving her the truth at the most important time in her life. And more than 85% of the time, when she sees the baby and hears that baby's heartbeat, she will choose life. And what better time than to do it than May, the month we celebrate motherhood. $140 gives just 5 mothers a free ultrasound and saves babies. $280 can save 10 babies. And just $28 a month can save a baby a month for less than a dollar a day. And a $15,000 gift will provide an ultrasound machine that will save lives for years to come. Whether you want to save one baby or five or hundreds, that opportunity is just a phone call or click away. Maybe this month you could provide ultrasounds in honor of your mom. Check it out. Preborn is wonderful. Go to preborn.org/Kirk. I am a donor, and you should be as well. Call 833-850-BABY. That's 833-850-2229. Or go to preborn.org/Kirk. Great organization. preborn.org/Kirk. Glenn, can you walk us through your opinion on the current banking collapse and crisis happening in America right now?
This is not over by any stretch of the imagination. We have severe problems. People should not worry. Now, listen to me carefully, because there's a lot of nuance here. People should not worry about their money in the bank. Unless you have more than $250,000, you're not going to lose your money in your savings. And here's what you need to understand. People will say, yeah, but the government can't cover everything. No, neither could the Weimar Republic, but they will print their way to covering everyone. So you will get, if you have $100 in the bank, you will get $100 back. You shouldn't worry about the safety of your money in the bank. You should worry about the value of the money that you have. That's what's being destroyed, and I believe it's being destroyed intentionally. I think there was no way out after we did this diabolical experiment and they started going towards CBDC. That's what's coming at the end of this road. But along the way to that, which is a nightmare, by the way, because it's complete and total control. Along the way, there's going to be massive wealth destruction. We could end up looking like Venezuela because we were at what, 80 or 70 something percent of the world's reserve currency.
That's 57%.
That means all of,
now. Yeah, it's something like that.
You know, it's lower than that.
Oh,
it's now
that
in
right?
the 40s.
Oh, wow.
It's now in the 40s.
So this is happening in real time. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's happening faster now than it has in the last 10 years combined. So it's moving rapidly. That will change the landscape. My concern is that we have China, we have Russia, we have Iran, we have all kinds of people that would like to collapse our system. And I believe that the people that also want to collapse our system are the banks of the Federal Reserve. And who's winning? If you just play the game of follow the money, who's winning? The American people are losing because we're going to be handed either through fees or on taxes, most likely fees. They have to get this money back and claw it back from you. So those big banks are going to start charging all kinds of fees. There won't be any competition because as these regional and smaller banks collapse, who wins?
That's right. JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, Citibank, Bank of America. And
they get all of it. And they're all the Fed banks.
Yeah, that's right. So they're the SIB banks, right? Where their losses are socialized and their gains are privatized.
Correct. All members of the Federal Reserve.
That's right.
So we are nationalizing our banks without nationalizing because it's not the United States government, it's the Fed. But I don't know who has the bigger power, the government or the Fed. And I know they're in bed with each other, but who's ruling who?
And it's even worse because then you have JP Morgan and BOA that finance all these left-wing causes. I mean, they're like woke super banks masquerading as banks. So just really quick, Glenn, because you mentioned this, our audience is not totally familiar because you talk about it more than we do. What is CBDC, centralized bank digital currency? Mint and a half.
Yeah.
Do the best you can.
Okay. Digital currency is like Bitcoin, except absolutely not. All of the things that make Bitcoin good, the fact that you can't track it, it's secure, blah, 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 is gone with a central bank digital currency. There will be one bank in the end, and there will be one currency, and it'll all be digital, and it is programmable. So the idea behind modern monetary theory, which we are now doing in Washington, is we can print as much money as we want. We can make as many digital coins as we want. But we have to have control of the user. So all Americans will only be able to use this digital currency from the Fed, which if there's inflation or if you're out of favor, they can turn your money off. So you can't buy gas anymore. Or at least for a couple of weeks. It is total control, and it is a socialized rating system like they have in China. That's what we're headed for.
And that ESG is the introduction. ESG is the test run for a social credit score. Glenn, we're out of time.
Correct.
Thank you so much for being generous with your time and your wisdom. Thanks so much.
You bet. Thank you. God bless.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.